You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Ben Trefney. Just off the Richmond-Santa Fe Bridge in Marin County, there's a campus of beige buildings with sparkling bay water lapping at its shore. This is San Quentin Prison, home to about 3,600 inmates today. If you're a regular listener to our show, you've probably heard the San Quentin Prison Report.
The San Quentin Prison Report.
Bringing you hidden stories from life inside.
We're not going to hear from a current inmate today, because we've got something different. See, there's a museum on site that has the story of all of San Quentin's yesterdays. KALW's Chris Hambrick has the story.
They had me at homemade shivwall. Shiv is a slang term for an improvised weapon. I heard the San Quentin Prison Museum has enough shivs to make an entire display, and I want to see them all.
Where the library is.
Library?
I'm sorry.
Museum. Is it that one that says museum?
Yes.
Okay.
I go through a checkpoint and sign in, but it's easy to forget that I'm on a prison campus because there are manicured trees and fluffy bushes. The guard at the gate smiles and jokes as he asks for my ID and points me in the right direction. The museum building itself is a Tudor-style house done in olive drab stucco. A sign hanging from the awning reads simply, Museum Open. This is where I meet my two tour guides for the day.
My name is Jeff Kramer. I'm the curator of the San Quentin Museum.
I'm Lieutenant Sam Robinson. I'm the public information officer at San Quentin State Prison.
Robinson points at the photos of all the past wardens lining the wall and asks me to guess which guy died at his desk. It's like a macabre game of Where's Waldo?
Look around at these photos and see if you can pick out who that individual is.
Okay. All right. So it's not the guy who's standing.
Off the tile floor lobby, there's a huge display. It's a timeline of the prison from 1852 up until the 1980s. There are photos, drawings, and lots of text. Words are fine, but the best way to view this prison's history is by looking at the objects here. Want to learn about the death penalty and the gas chamber? Robinson has you covered.
Let's see, I think we have a mock of it.
He shows me a bright green metal scale model. It's an octagon with a door, windows, and a pointed roof. There are two seats inside.
The first execution here at this facility was actually a double execution. Two people who murdered the warden at Folsom State Prison back in 1937 were the first two people to be executed here 1 year later in 1938. And so the facility was designed to accommodate two, and over the course of its history, 22 times we've utilized it for multiple people at once.
Kramer shows me the item he says draws the most curious stares from visitors.
This was the noose that hung of Rattlesnake James, man that killed six wives with a rattlesnake. And I got this noose from the hangman's daughter.
That same hangman's daughter also gave the museum a wooden cigar box filled with tiny nooses. Her father made one for each person he executed and tagged it with the prisoner's number. And there are more scale models.
That's what the gallows looked like here in the prison, and then it was torn down to replace by the gas chamber.
There is no shortage of dark humor in this place. Kramer and I look at the hanging record for Rattlesnake James.
This is a description of him. His height, his weight, his drop, and how long it took him to die.
You have to read that for
me. It says very successful.
We leave the sterile death wing and go up three steps to a large carpeted room filled with lit display cases. In those cases are straitjackets, guns, and an actual ball and chain. Kramer's got a story for every object. He points out an item made by an inmate in the 1950s.
That little steam engine in the bottom was made by a man, William Wells. He was a nice man in Santa Fe, and he made things. But he got fingered with something of, like an assault on a child or something like that. And he was so taken by it and shocked, he couldn't speak. Poor Willie, all he could do was bark. So he got the name of Barking Willie. And so he wandered around here and he made this little steam engine. It actually works.
My eyes get wide looking inside the contraband case.
Is that a shovel? Number nine.
Yep.
Let's see. It's
yep,
homemade shovel for tunneling.
Yep. And this is a zip gun that was used in an escape in the 1960s. And this is a piece of toilet paper, has a piece cut out to hide some narcotics or something like that in there. And then the shaft the toilet paper spindles on is a stabbing weapon. Kind of use everything you can.
Wow. Oh, that, okay, that thing underneath that looks like an ice pick was inside.
Yeah, it's a... Oh.
Speaking of stabbing, I spy what really drew me to this museum.
Is that the shiv wall? The homemade shiv wall?
Robinson has the story for this one.
That's exactly what this is. Actually, this weapon here kind of mirrors a weapon that was utilized to murder the last employee here at San Quentin. The inmate was actually inside of his cell, and what he did is he got some newspaper, he rolled it up, let it dry out, and when it dries like a broomstick or a handle. And what he did is he tied a little weapon onto the end of that handle, so to say. And from inside of his cell, as the employee walked by, someone called the employee's name out, the employee turned, and as he was positioned just right, he thrust it out through the cell bars and stabbed him in his heart. Yeah.
So it means you guys really have to stay on top of everything.
It's just kind of some of the things that in society you don't think about, you don't even have to worry about, but in prison, everything we have to be accountable for.
Murder aside, these shivs are a showcase of ingenuity. There are sharpened screwdrivers, nails hidden inside of pen cases, filed down paint rollers, just loads of pointy things that someone put a handle on. But the museum isn't all about weapons. There's stuff about the short-lived women's wing, a display of military supplies the prisoners made during World War II, and photos showing some of the inmates' recreational activities. To get a sense of what it's like to live here, I step inside the model cell at the museum. It's the same size of the ones inside the prison.
So the cell is long and narrow. There's a toilet at the back, and I'm gonna stretch my arms out to see if I can touch both sides of the wall at the same time. Yeah, and my elbows are bent, so that's about the width of the cell.
It's easy to imagine how being confined to such a small space would make you dream of busting out.
This is a wall of escapes, and in the early days, people would braid bed sheets together. And there's a grappling hook that was made over the wall and climb over and go. And there was one escape where...
Kramer has a twinkle in his eyes as he tells the adventure of a posse car chase and eventual capture of the escapees. It's like he's reliving memories. In a way, he is. He grew up nearby and remembers what a company town this area was when he was a boy. He's a storehouse of fascinating tales, and he'll share them with you if you visit. Just be glad this is one trip to prison where you get to come and go voluntarily. For Cross Currents, I'm Chris Hambrick.